Thank the Light, everybody. I am Desmond McNeese.
I'm Fatty the Chef, Parched Ailman on the Bird app. How y'all doing?
And he has, I don't know what this is. What are we doing? What are we watching? What are we listening? Well, we're going to, this is not very good audio. Well, I don't know if it's audio. Is it all audio or is it a video?
Okay. Anybody, it's just audio book. So it's just passed out of the audio book. It's about 10 minutes. I'm going to shorten it as I can. We can, you know, but the setup is, and Desmond, you haven't met, or maybe you have, how far are you in the books? Have you gotten to where Matt Rand is in Camelin yet?
No.
Probably not.
They're just about ready to leave.
Okay. So
Two Rivers.
Rand gets to Camelin and he falls off a wall and meets the royal family children in Elaine, which is she's very important. She was the one I was talking about last week. Syria Coveney, she is confirmed as Elaine Trican. And I think that's good casting. And then Gary Beatles is confirmed as Elias. The other two people I had mentioned, they haven't kind of spit out who they are yet. So my best guess is the, I think her name's Natasha O'Keefe. It's probably going to be Elida, which she is a Red Aes Sedai and like advisor to Elaine's mother, the Queen of Andor. So I'm thinking since she's been cast, that one's going to, and she, there's a couple other characters that she could be, and I just don't think she has the look enough or the right kind of age and stuff like that. So I don't think it's her. The other one I think could be Varen Sedai. If it is, I'm going to be really stoked because Varen's a really cool character. And I've heard that actress is really cool, and she definitely kind of has the look of Varen that I'm like, yes.
Awesome.
But so the setup for this, it's book three. It's, you know, and this is where I'm really hoping that Matt can kind of come into his own when he comes back to the show. Because, and this is post his, I believe, third healing. And we'll get into our predictions after about how I think they're going to get here. But I think they should probably get to this in season two, I would think, pretty quickly. Just so they can keep Matt's arc moving, and he's in Tar Valon. So I think that's how that's going to go. But, you know, let's listen to it real quick. We will probably condense our listening to it, and so we can react to it, and it won't be just like a bunch of dead air. But I kind of want to watch Desmond's face when he does it. Started at 51 seconds. That way, because you don't need the setup. It'll shorten it a little bit, and then we could stop when it's done. The setup is Matt is post-third healing. He's finally healed, but like 2 days out of it, and he can barely even walk that without, and he's got to eat constantly because when you get healed, it just takes your body down and you got to eat. And Matt's already kind of gaunt and frail looking because of the like possession of the dagger. So start at 51 seconds. He decides he's going to go decide he's got how am I going to get out of the tower? And in doing a little recon, if you will, he comes across the warders practicing and he comes across Elaine's brother and half-brother in the yard. And that's where we start.
I understand you are sick. Are you better now? I'm fine, Matt said. He wondered if he was supposed to call Gawain my lord, or something of the sort. He had refused to call Elaine my lady. Not that she had demanded it, actually. And he decided he would not do her brother better.
This is from Matt's point of view, by the way.
Did you come to the practice yard to learn the sword? Galad asked. Matt shook his head. I was only out walking. I don't know much about swords. I think I'll put my trust in a good bow or a good quarterstaff. I know how to use those.
I don't see Matt as preferring a bow. That dude is, he's too scrappy to lay back and sling arrows from a distance.
Well, it's like, that's what you learn in the Two Rivers is you learn the bow and you learn the quarterstaff because that's all you have a need for.
Yeah, but he also learned how to steal and they didn't teach him that in the Two Rivers.
Trust me, this is where I fall in love with Matt. And I know you already like Matt, but you're going to be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen Rand in a long time, Matt said quickly. Just for a moment, when he had mentioned Rand, Gowan's look had gained intensity. Light, does he know about Rand? He couldn't. If he did, he'd be denouncing me for a dark friend just for being Rand's friend. But he knows something. Swords aren't the be-all and end-all, you know. I could do fairly well against either of you, I think, if you had a sword and I had my quarterstaff. Gawain's cough was obviously meant to swallow a laugh. Much too politely, he said. He was going to do it because it would be fun. And it might earn some coin. His luck would not even have to be back. I will wager, he said, two silver marks to two from each of you that I can beat both of you at once. Just the way I said. You can't have fairer odds than that. There are two of you and one of me, so 2-1 are fair odds. He almost laughed aloud at the consternation on their faces. Matt, Gawain said, there's no need to make wagers. You have been sick. Perhaps we will try this sometime when you are stronger. Thump me once with one of your swords, and I will hand over a silver mark to each of you. If I thump you till you quit, you will give me 2 each. Are you sure you're up to this, lad? Now I take a close look at you, you ought to be in a sick bed. I'm already out of one, Matt said, and I'm up to it. I have to be. I don't want to lose my 2 marks.
Has he proven himself to the reader in battle by now, or is this kind of when we realize that he's not just
no,
a scrapper?
Not really.
He's a...
No, not really. I mean, he's, you know, he's been there and he's fired, like, you know, he's got a lot of bow. He does a lot of bow action, and then he fucking wields that dagger pretty deadly for a while he has it. And then as soon as he loses the dagger, he's just like, I don't know. He's like, I know I'm good with the quarterstaff. I know I can fight, like, whatever. And he's just like, and who cares? Whatever. Like, well, so what if I get my ass beat? Whatever. He's like the dog when he knocks over the trash. He's like, oh, I'm going to get spanked. But man, there's some fucking chicken wings in there, bro.
Ribs.
I got this. Nice. Delicious.
Does he have the coin if he loses?
What's that?
Does he have the coin if he loses?
Do you mean the one that Moraine gave him?
Well, no. I mean, if he loses this bet, could he pay them?
Yeah, he's been gambling, so he's got a couple of marks or whatever.
I mean, I know where this is leading, but I'm just wondering, what? We don't have 50 bucks, dude. We don't have 20.
Yeah. You know, actually, I don't know if he does. I'd have to read again on that one. I don't know if he does or not. I think he's got a couple, but he's like, I got to make some coin if I'm going to get out of here. So this is, and he's like, well, and it starts off and he's just like, who'd want to mess with these guys? And he's like, I think it'd be fun to mess with these guys. I should. It's like, dude, you just said not, no.
When he turned back, the quarterstaff in both hands before him, Gawain and Galad were already waiting out where they had been practicing. A buzz rose from the accepted as they realized what was happening. The Aes Sedai watched in silence, disapproving silence.
So who's what? Because I imagined it was just kind of them in the corner of an alley fucking with each other.
So, sorry. I guess I didn't do a good enough setup.
Well, no, we're working our way through it.
He's walked down and he's like, he's kind of walking around the tower grounds. It's like, how the hell am I going to get out of here? And he hears all this noise. And he's like, what the fuck's going on out here? Goes walking over. And it's all of the warders who are training.
Oh.
And it's all of the Aes Sedai's that a lot of them don't have warders. And a lot of them are like novices and accepted. And they're watching because the master head warder who's training people. And he's like, all right, I'll pay your wager. If you guys haven't got enough guts to think you can take him. Quit making excuses.
Okay.
And so he's in the practice yard. So there's probably 50, 60 people watching.
So there's
watching,
a bunch of
least.
Badass warders in training and a bunch of cute Aes Sedai's in training. And
yeah, that are fawning over Galad because he's supposed to be like the prettiest man ever. That's all. He's so beautiful. He takes your breath away just to look at him.
Matt's going to suck that wind right out.
Can't wait to see who they cast for him. It's going to be great.
Taylor Lautner.
You better be fucking dreamy. That's all I got to say.
The moment's warning was all Matt needed. As Galad rushed at him, he slid his hands along the quarterstaff and pivoted. The end of the staff thudded into the tall man's ribs, bringing a grunt and a stumble. Matt let the staff bounce off Galad and spun, carrying it around just as Gawain came within range. The staff dipped, darted under Gawain's practice sword and clipped his ankle out from under him. As Gawain fell, Matt completed the spin in time to catch Galad across his upraised wrist, sending his practice sword flying. Luck stay with me. From the first blow, he knew that luck or skill or whatever had brought him this far was still there. And Matt pressed him, staff a blur. And Galad stepped back again, wooden blade a thin shield against the quarterstaff. Hunger gnawed at Matt as if he had swallowed weasels. Sweat rolled down into his eyes, and his strength
it's
began
so great.
To fade
it's one of my
as if
favorites,
it leached
dude.
Out with the sweat. With a roar, he threw all his reserves into one last surge. The quarterstaff flickered past Galad's sword, and in quick succession struck knee, wrist, and ribs, and finally thrust into Galad's stomach like a spear. With a groan, Galad folded over, fighting not to fall. The staff quivered in Matt's hands, on the point of a final crushing thrust to the throat. Galad sank to the ground. Matt almost dropped the quarterstaff when he realized what he had been about to do. Win, not kill. Suddenly, he realized that not only the Aes Sedai and Accepted were watching. All practice, all learning had stopped. Warders and students alike stood watching him. The warder raised his voice to shout, "Who was the greatest blade master of all time?" From the throats of dozens of students came a massed bellow. "Jerome, Gaidin." "Yes," Hummer shouted, turning to make sure all heard. "During his lifetime, Jerome fought over 10,000 times in battle and single combat. He was defeated once by a farmer with a quarterstaff. Remember that. Remember what you just saw."
So what do you think, man? That's when I like feel like, dude, Matt's a bad dude, bro.
Yeah, he just...
he's so tight.
I mean, I guess for money, it makes sense. But yeah, he's just such a survivor and not like, let's go to the center of town and show off. But like...
not really show off, but dude, he wants to be in a common room. He wants to be in a common room gambling and like dicing and drinking. That's what he wants to be doing all the time.
Yeah.
If it's like, I'm fighting or fucking, let's go.
Yeah, that's...
fresh out of whiskey.
So from now, I'm trying to like connect. First of all, like, I don't know if I see old Matt doing that scene. Like, I'm curious...
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I disagree. And the reason why I started with this is because I wanted to lead into, first of all, where, you know, as soon as I get past this little thing is where you're at in the books and with what you've had in the books and what you've seen, like that you recognize, how do you like it? And then we'll get into like predictions and stuff. But yeah, you know, I just really think that that's where Matt's season two arc is going to start.
But that's new Matt.
I keep thinking about it.
And I haven't seen...
I think he's going to kick around until they can get the dagger back to Tarvon. And he's maybe... instead of getting healed three times, he's going to just get healed for the second time completely. He's in Tarvon, wandering around, runs into probably maybe... That may be where we get introduced to Elaine as well. And I think that Egwene and Nynaeve will be going back to the tower at that time as well. So, I mean, even though that scene isn't till book three, I think that's going to get moved up to number two real quick. And so what do you think? Do you love Matt more after that? Is he a bad dude or what?
I do. Like,
he's so gangster. He's such a gangster.
Because I know he's a gambling man too. But like you said, I picture him, yeah, in the taverns and stuff, gambling and stuff. But to see him like gambling basically with his life in a way, like they weren't going to kill him, but... they were certainly going to make him a fool enough to fuck his life up.
And they were just so pompous. They just deserved to get their ass whipped. And he just did it real, real quick. Like he made short work of them.
I was hoping to see what a couple of, I was hoping there was more episode titles for next season yet. And we could see one where titled like, you know, Matt's. Staff's a baller.
Matt's back. Yeah, totally. If you know what, here, I'll tell you what it is. If you see an episode title named, I know what the episode title will be. If it's the focus of an episode, I'm gonna predict it. I'll tell you what it's gonna be right now. Come on. It's gonna be either luck, time to toss the dice, or it's gonna be it's like, you know, like it's not reconnaissance, but it's like, you know, he's searching for a way out. I can't remember what it exactly is right now. But like I said, I just keep trying to think about how they're going to bring him back. Scouting and Discoveries. If that's the name of an episode, I'm going to have a boner because like I think it's a good way to be like, okay, you can show the new dude, like maybe just really haggard, like he's on the verge of death, like Skeletor, and then they heal him and he looks a little bit different, but he's still Matt. And then, you know, you forget about it really quick because he goes out and kicks the shit out of these two pompous dicks. It's just one of the things, like if they leave that out, if there's not some version of that in the show, that'll be the first thing I get super disappointed about. But I also can't think of a way of really smashing back Matt because he blows the horn.
Oh.
In The Great Hunt. And so he's attached to the horn. So I think they could potentially make that happen a little later because I don't know how they would get him to the parts of the world that he needs to be in time if they flipped those scenes. I'm sure they could do it. I mean, you know, they're writers. That's what they do. I'm not a writer, but I feel like that would be the one of the best ways to bring him in season two pretty quickly, you know, with a bang. While we got a little dead time, I found that the Wheel of Time origins, the legends and mythologies that inspired Robert Jordan is the new book that's going to be coming out. I think it comes out in this month sometime. It's a guy who, you know, has went through and literally kind of pulled from his inspirations and I think show how it relates to what and it came out on the page. And I think it's really cool to see it come out on screen because the costumes and stuff is just, I just can't wait to the second season for so many things. There's locations and things that I feel like the second season has a potential to be freaking epic, dude, because I feel like they're going to go, I was saying a little bit last spot, I think they're going to go like 1.5, 1.75. I think they'll end getting the tier when the lot, or, you know, right when everybody starts to head to tier. I don't know if they'll actually get there because I think that'll be a pretty banging kickoff point for season two. And that's when you really
You mean season three?
Yeah, right. The kickoff of season three. Yeah. So have you got any further in your book in Eye of the
World? Yeah, I'm about 10 hours in. I'm starting to cruise now. Like I said, I got really, really hung up on that first chapter.
It's easy to get bogged down in the beginning. And then once the Trollocs show up on Winter Night, then it's like, whoosh.
Well, and kind of like, you know, and with everything too, like I, for whatever reason, I felt like I really needed to chew and digest that first because it was light years ahead of where we are on the show.
Literally. Almost.
But yeah, but now it's just like I can picture the characters. So even if I miss a couple sentences, like, because I just need to get through it. Like, and it's one of those things too where like I'll listen to this book, you know, a couple times probably in the next 5-10 years. So just getting it through. Because I think I do want to start. Yeah, have we talked about me, should I hold off on the books a little bit to not get too far ahead just for sake of the podcast? Like, I don't think I want to finish all 15 this summer. Not that I could.
I would race to 3.
Okay.
Until we get through season 2.
Okay, cool.
I think that'll give you enough time to get through it and not, you know, want to rip your hair out trying to just do it. I don't want it to be a job. I want, because they are enjoyable.
Yeah.
And so I think that if you're able to split it out a little bit, I think it's cool. And because I really think that you just, what I've read places and people's kind of theories, talk on Twitter and stuff like that, it's just, I really think that it's going to be a book and a half to 2 books per season, depending on which ones.
With some, like you said, there's some slower books in there, and those will probably be like, just like, you never know when they'll throw in a flash forward or a flashback of just that world building in the middle.
I think what's going to change a lot in the second season, I started thinking about this, is like you get, I'm wondering more. You'll notice, maybe not even as, I guess now you notice it in the books, like you really see each chapter, it's the way Game of Thrones is. It's like you get this, you know, main character's point of view.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where you're seeing it from.
Yeah.
So, you know, that whole thing was from Matt's point of view, that thing we just listened to. I wonder if they will do more of that. Like, here's Perrin's story from Perrin's point of view. Or will they be continuing to tell the story from... I was reading that, like, you know, the majority of season one is kind of being... the story being told through Lan and Moraine's eyes. And that's why there's stuff missing.
Oh.
You know, like, you may see what Rand actually did when he's just standing there holding the thing at Ishmael, other than just freeing him. You may see more things happen because you get his point of view later. I'm wondering if that's how they will do things. Like you get Rand's point of view when he's dragging his dad through the woods, when he's shooting the bow and arrow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the first times that you get a point of view that it's not like a Moraine and Lan, that's, unless they're seen, you know, kind of by themselves or just the two of them.
Well, do you think they'll do, so are you saying like there'll be like whole Matt episodes, whole Rand episodes,
I feel like there will be, or maybe, you know, like a quarter of the episode is where Rand's at right now. A quarter of the episode is where Matt and you know, if,
yeah,
you know, they, like I said, they cross paths, they join up. Matt kind of starts to form his own army just because people are like, hey, dude, you're cool. You never lose. And you like to gamble and drink. Let's fucking go. And then they kind of end up, you know, just keep, you know, Rebel Alliance. Here we go.
I would be fine if they did that. But I feel like they've built a little bit more of an ensemble situation where they're going to move all five of the main characters forward every episode instead of like, you know, like you said, like Game of Thrones, like you just don't see a character for two episodes, which is fine. But I don't think this is going to do that.
Yeah, because sometimes when you start to do that, it's like, well, you know, Lan and Moraine are here and Nynaeve, you know, if they don't separate that much, it's like, I'm trying to think, it's like, you know, the one point Rand is by himself for a while and he's with only a couple of people, but it's like they get the horn.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they get back to the actual world where they're from, they get to Carheen, it gets stolen again. And there's this big battle in Carheen, which that's one of the things that I predict slash really hope happens, because it's some really cool stuff that happens in the city. There's like a festival going on and they kind of disguise Trollocs as like these giant puppets. And then they attack the city and there's more way gates and the ways in that. So I hope, I mean, that'll be cool too, because I want to see all that shit.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. I am loving the books. Like I'm really enjoying it. Like I said, now that I have it on 1.2 times, so it's going fast. So I'm just like,
it's going fast.
Yeah, it's like I'm watching it and it's just cruising. Yeah, like I said, we're just about ready. I think we're gonna leave the Two Rivers in the next chapter. To what chapter am I? I think I'm on chapter 11. No.
Yeah, I think Leave Takings is like 10 or something.
Oh, nine. I'm almost at the end of the Telling of the Wheel. 9.
That's such a big deal in the books. And she's just like, she just heals him, right? Like you can see how she kind of goes back and forth for a second before she heals him in the books.
Yeah.
And she can tell like Rand's not going to leave if he's not okay.
Yeah.
So she's just like, fine, done. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And I like in the show,
that you have no idea what's like, coming. We have to go.
Moraine is just healing motherfuckers. Like it's not, we didn't have to waste 10 minutes with Rand.
Yeah.
Trying to, I think the only thing so far, I mean, I think I know why they did it. I think it makes better TV to have a bunch of wily teenagers who are excited to adventure instead of wasting time with people who just thought they were going to live in the Two Rivers for 60 years and die, and that was going to be their life.
Right, and their idea of adventure was like, oh, this is crazy. We're going to be gone for like a month.
Yeah.
And it's like, some of them never go back home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them go back to Demonsfield, but some of them never.
Does home come back? I mean, this, I don't think that's a big spoiler. Do they rebuild? I guess they would have to, whether they rebuild it the way it was.
Oh, dude, what you think what happened is nothing compared to what they bring. Padan Fain becomes something that the Chosen, the Forsaken, call the Renegade, because he gets kind of possessed by the dagger. And he's been changed. He can't channel anything, but he's been kind of changed by the Dark One, where he's got some kind of powers where he's something else.
Yeah.
By the time you get into the book, he's something else.
Yeah.
And he goes and he is like a double agent for the White Cloaks.
Yeah.
And he's corrupting that. All these White Cloaks while he's bringing more and more Trollocs to the Two Rivers. And Perrin goes back and they rebuild the Two Rivers, ends up becoming like the town.
I'm glad we didn't spend... You know, I'm glad they didn't stretch the first episode into two episodes, you know, by having like half an episode, just the fight at Rand and
then all this little Rand shit afterwards. Yeah, you're like,
I guess we kind of get it just by, you know, who they drag away. But like, I do wish that in the melee, they could have made it, because Trollocs are just such nasty killers anyways. Like, I think it would have been good information to show that they were targeting. Like, in my mind, before the book or talking to you, I would be like, Trollocs can't target anything. They're just fucking tornadoes, and they may or may not hit their target.
They really can't. There's some that are smart enough to kind of do it, but then...
But the fact that they only attack two farms, they only, you know, destroyed, like, three buildings. Like, it was a fairly targeted attack.
That's where the Fates come in. They're the brains. Like, the one Trolloc is like Narg smart, yes, in the book. He's like, they don't really do that in the book, but he's like,
no, and they don't do that.
I was
in the
smart
show.
I pretended to do, or they don't do that in the show. Yeah. He's like, I pretended to be dead. I knew you'd come back. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that's like the high point of Trolloc intelligence. Yeah. You know?
But it still shows that they're like,
they really,
they're not totally mindless consumers. They're pretty gnarly.
Yeah, they're not zombies. They're driven by much more primal shit than that.
Yeah, and I know the Fades are pulling the strings, but the fact that they can direct that aggression, I think, would have been... Which
as long as they're not too afraid, they will turn and run, or they'll take down a Fade too. You know, they'll turn around and sometimes kill a Fade that they're attacked to. They'll kill them and then they all drop dead.
Fades are weird to me. Are they created or are they born?
They're actually birthed. They are the offspring of Trollocs and humans.
What?
Yeah. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
That's weird that they're Trolloc babies.
Yeah, and then they're the ones who are in control, though.
So they've got the death of a Trolloc, but the brains of a human.
And as far as I know, I don't know if there's a sex, but as far as I know, all Fades seem to be male.
Well, it's like a donkey.
I haven't seen like a
two.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
Two Fades can.
It's sterile.
Yeah.
Right. They're definitely sterile, but I've never seen what I would perceive to be a female Fade. So I'll be curious if you get that in the show, or you get something that's maybe obvious of a more like a female, if they have male and female, I don't know. But they definitely can't have more babies. But so what are you thinking about now that you've got some stuff to compare the show to? Are you thinking that they're doing a good job adapting it? Or are you thinking that maybe it's leaving a little bit, or are you feeling it still?
I think they're doing an amazing job so far.
I thought I was hoping you'd say, now that you know a little more, is it cool to have faces to put to names? Because I am only starting to do that now. Can I just tell you, I don't know what Donald Finn looks like, but I have this kind of blurry faced vision of him as Matt, because I don't even look at it as Barney Harris anymore. I almost look at it, because you'll see as you go through the books, Matt's a little annoying at first. Like, he's kind of a whiny punk. It gets weird, especially after he steals the dagger, you know, but then after he gets healed, like, dude, he's just a G.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to know. That's the weirdest thing, is that I've gotten to know the townsmen really well that I never met in the movie, but they have spent no time with Matt or Perrin in the book.
Yeah.
As of right now. Like, I'm a third of the way through the book.
I don't know when you get Perrin and Matt point of view, maybe not till book two. I can't remember. But I think there's probably some before then, because there's like Perrin and Egwene once you hit Shadar Logoth, that's when you start getting the POV from the separate characters, as opposed to like the first part of the book, I think, until now is like basically Moraine and Lan for the most part.
Well, and they just don't even come in contact, whether it's their POV or not. Like, Rand's just...
Yeah.
He hasn't spent any time. He's spent all of his time on his fucking... On his stupid... Yeah, no wonder he's called a sheep herder. Fucking spends all his time on that farm.
Yeah. No, that's... I swear to God, I better hear someone call him sheep herder. I better hear someone say blacksmith.
I love show Lan more than book Lan. I'm really glad...
Me too.
...he's not a dick.
Yeah. And he's not a dick, dude. He really isn't. He's just like, I don't know if you're going to live the next 24 hours. It's like the new guy in war. He's hard and he has a mission. And that's why I was talking about, once they get to Shinar and Rand comes back from the Eye of the World, he really takes him under his wing. They start training with the sword. That's where he starts calling him sheep herder, but like, where he calls it, it's like sarcastically at first, because he doesn't want him to learn his name.
Yeah.
It becomes like a term of endearment. Same with Perrin and with the blacksmith, because he really kind of helps them man up. Bran, especially, like between Tam and Lan, like those are his two main like mentor father figures. I hope that we end up having to do this for 8 years, because you'll go through and re-listen. And I read really fast. I pick up more nuance listening to it. And there are things that like people still like have you, hey, who killed so-and-so? I still do not understand. And they'll be like, well, there was these three passages that explain it perfectly. And they're dead ass right. But it's like, I better be fucking Columbo to pick up on this shit.
Well, now that I know people have like, taken out excerpts and put music to like the passages that the spokes in the wheel pass. I'll call them spokes in the wheel, motherfucker. That's what they are. passages from the book.
Threads in the pattern, threads in the pattern, spokes in the wheel, whatever you want to say. It's all good.
So as usual, we are, our hour is flying by. So I want to make sure you get to what is, as much as we could do this for 3 hours, we got to make sure and keep our hopper full for next time.
We can do a couple. I have a quarter of a page is all I've gotten, bro. So we're good. One other thing before we go, the effects studio I was talking about last episode is Previz Effect Studio. If anybody wants to look up what those weaves looked like before they changed them and went to white.
All right. Until next time, this has been Thank the Light. I'm Desmond. That's Fatty. Go to Parse to Ailman, Wolf Brothers at Parse to Ailman on Twitter. Send us some emails at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. And give us your thoughts, predictions, feelings, love letters, recipes, whatever you got. Send them there.
More like turd craply. Anyone who's listening, the next 3 to 30 episodes is going to be shit like this. So let us know what you want to talk about.
Talking about Wheel of Time, baby.
I talk a lot. I'm going to say what I want to see. I'm going to try not to ruin stuff for people who listen and for you. I'm trying to tease it as best I can without ruining it.
I think it's, I'll try to find the line, but I think like, because these episodes, like, they're just a drop in the bucket. And then fucking 4 years from now, when they actually show it in an episode, it'll be brand new again. So I think we can just have some fun talking about it. And
yeah, that's why I said go hard until, you know, go hard until you get through Dragon Reborn, and then you could take a fucking break, because I really think that four and five are really important. Then after that, I think they're going to mash a lot of shit up. But it's like, I feel like I just was thinking about the Matt thing, and I really feel like that's going to jump way ahead and some shit's going to get rearranged. But whatever, we'll see. I'm excited.
Fuck yeah.
See you next week, brother. I'll talk to you on Twitter.
See y'all next week.
Go ahead and delete this part.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.